I know y'all just prayed, but you know, it doesn't look like any of you guys have any problem with praying again. So let's go to the Lord and pray real quick this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can just be in your house this morning and enjoy the freedom that we have in this country to publicly proclaim the gospel, God. Allow us just all as a body of Christ this morning in unison, just be in agreement, you know, over this word today, God. And allow us just to be able to just grow that much closer to you. We pray heaven be with us, you know, on earth. And we pray that we're not having our mind set here, but on things above. And just, you know, bless this message this morning in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So little Johnny was set to eat dinner with his mother one evening. It was just the two of them. Daddy was out, you know, late to work. And little Johnny asked his mama, he said, "Mama, are bugs good to eat?" And she looks at him, you know, like any of us would. And she says, "Boy, let's not talk about things like this at the dinner table." So they just continued eating. And after dinner, that question started to eat at mama a little bit. And so she inquired. She said, "Now, baby, what did you mean to ask me?" Little Johnny just looked at her and said, "Oh, nothing. There was a bug in your soup, but now it's gone." Kids say the darnest things. Did anybody ever watch that, you know, that show? You know, we're going to be learning about childhood today and what God says about it this morning. So if you got your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, otherwise I'll be reading it for you. Matthew 18. We'll stay in the first just a few verses of Matthew 18. And as you turn there, I'll give some reflection as we get into the message this morning. When you read these Gospels as a young Christian, and if we're honest with ourselves, even with growing and more mature Christians, we find ourselves sometimes scratching our heads when Jesus attempts to turn this broken old world upside down. When Jesus tells you to think about that one person, ooh, that's tough. He says, think about that one person that's done you the most wrong. Think about that one person that maybe this week, you know, gave you that eye. You know, you ever get that eye from somebody? You know? And he says, think about that person. And don't just forgive them, love them, pray for them. So when Jesus tells you to do that, it's just a long list of things that he's done. Like in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said that he must suffer and be killed. Peter even rebukes him for it. The Bible tells us that his ways are not our ways. As we read scripture, we find ourselves walking the same path as the disciples sometimes, struggling with the things that they struggle with. You know, the apostles even struggled with faith. Do we really believe and apply Christ's teaching in our lives? They struggled with hope. Do we really put our hope alone in Jesus Christ? Or sometimes maybe we are relying on things that we've stored up on earth more than all the riches and glory that God our Father has in heaven. Then there's pride. There's the issue of pride that we'll be reading about. Have we ever looked at another person, you know, who's being sanctified? Maybe they're a newer person in the church. And when their own sin is highlighted, have we ever considered ourselves in the same way the Pharisee did the tax collector? Oh, thank God I'm not like this person. The apostles struggled with pride, even more openly boasted to Jesus, beginning in Matthew chapter 18. See, they're all wanting to seek out the hierarchy of heaven. But Jesus turns that thinking, like the previous ones I'd mentioned, upside down. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as a little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little one child and in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it be better for him than a millstone were hanged around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world because of the offenses, for it must needs to be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom offenses cometh." Heavy words from Jesus. Well-meaning Christians will often take a look at youth around them. It's easy to do this when you're in children's home ministry especially. But, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, you know, we've all been guilty of this. And it's not necessarily a bad thing, though, but we'll take a look at youth, and we want to teach them how to be better adults. And that is good. That is a good thing. We want them to grow and become better adults. That is important. But when was the last time you gave advice to a kid on how to be a better kid, you know? How to be more of a trusting child of God, not to overcomplicate things. You know, at the home, we don't just teach kids biblical values. We don't just teach them how to be better adults, but in children's home ministry, we have to help them reclaim something that has sadly been lost, their childhood. We like to teach them how to be better kids if we can, but how do you do that? You got to, as an adult, teach yourself, you know, or have, you know, the Holy Spirit teaches you, read His Word, how to be a better kid yourself. You know, who here is a child of God in here this morning? Oh, mercy, you know. All starts with that word child, you know. Proverbs 3:5 tells us, in reference to being a child, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's really what it means to be a child. So yeah, that, you know, that scripture's talking to a broader subject, but you know, I was looking myself, how do you summarize being a child? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on your own understanding. Children, you know, they don't typically like to lean on their own understanding because they haven't really developed one yet. It's such a childish thing to do. You know, parents wholeheartedly and understandably, they don't know anything. And so they have to trust in their parents to teach them. I remember as a child, I had two very different ideas. And in a way, I still kind of have them, you know, but you know, more correct. I had two very different ideas. The first one was, my dad is strong. You know, he's a farmer. You know, I see him, you know, rustle around with our cattle, you know, move horses from place to place, grab those square barrels, one in each arm, you know, about doing curls as he tosses them somewhere. So I thought to myself, my father is strong. My dad's strong. I bet my dad could beat up your dad. I had that idea in my head. And then I thought of something else. I said, Mama just knows about everything there is to know. I ask Mama questions, she teaches me. When it comes to, you know, understanding the scripture, I would do devotions with my mom. So honestly, I would say Harvard and Yale, get out of the way. Mama knows about everything there is to know. Now, there is a great seed of faith in both those things, but I got Mama and Dad in trouble when I'd go around preaching that gospel. There was a boy, another farm family that lived in, on the same road as we did, and on the way home on the school bus, I remember that guy was, you know, other kid. We were about, maybe first or second grade, and I said, yeah, I met your dad. Your dad's pretty cool, but my dad could still beat up your dad. Well, he went home and he told his dad that, believe it or not. So soccer practice was that evening. You know, the dads come and they pick everybody up, and here I am. I'm having to explain what I meant by that. The father of that kid came up to my dad and said, hey, I heard you can beat me up. Praise the Lord, he had a sense of humor. And in another way, I remember about third grade when I got a little bit older, I was in science class, and you know, they have those state textbooks that are telling us that we're some protoplasmic accident, you know, that we're billions and billions of years old on this earth, and we, you know, descended from the same common ancestor as the monkeys. But the teacher was saying, you know, the earth is billions and billions of years old, you know. And I raised my hand and I said, no, Mama took me through Genesis. I'm sorry to tell you, teacher, but that's not right. Well, we had to have a meeting about that too. Thank God my parents had a good sense of humor. You know, but what did that mean? You know, we take a look at a child. You know, I'm sure we all have stories where maybe we are, or children around us had strong opinions on their parents, but it comes from something greater. Look at the faith and reverence I had. I had faith that if there was a problem, yeah, some of it was misplaced, I'll tell you that, but, you know, I had faith that if there was a problem, my dad was strong enough to solve it, and he would do that for our family. And I had a faith in my mother that if there was an issue that I didn't know something, or that maybe there was an issue where I was worried about something, mama would help me solve it. You know, there was a greater thing that I had learned from them in midst of this, that God was all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. When the disciples are debating who is the greatest, Jesus doesn't reach out to any of them, but extends a hand to a child. Here's something that I want you to take home with you today. You know, I'll be talking about a couple other Bible verses, but this is something very, very important. Childhood is a perpetual reminder of what true Christianity can look like. Childhood is a perpetual reminder of what true Christianity can look like. God has designed it a living testimony in every family. He's put a child there to remind us what the kingdom of God looks like. You know, there's a few studies that show in America alone that there's 3/4 or 75% of youth entering into adulthood left the church in the last decade. Instead of focusing on the negatives, you know, talking about why the world's going to heck in a handbasket, why don't we focus on the strength? Why did the 1/4 of those children stay? Well, you know, they found that out. They did a study. The Family Research Council, Dr. James Dobson, said that that the children that stayed, one of the reasons was they ate dinner 5 or 7 nights a week as a family. You know, and even psychology's caught up with that. Psychology says that's how kids and families solve problems, is they, you know, break bread with each other. They talk about it. That's the reason that Jesus wanted to break bread with people that were coming into the kingdom of heaven, like Zacchaeus. You know, I'm eating at your house today. They served with their families in a ministry of some sort involved with the church. Had at least one spiritual experience in the home during the week. Just one was able to keep them on the straight and narrow, you know, devotion. They had at least one faith-focused adult in their lives other than their parents, you know. That's why discipleship is so important, to be able to branch out, you know, your pastor, and you can be that for somebody. Lastly, entrusting with responsibility in the church at an early age. That's why it's good to, you know, see the kids, you know, be able to be trusted with certain things to do in the church, you know. You know, I remember my buddy who was he's a Baptist minister. We went and visited their church one time. He had his 3-year-old handing out the little, you know, the announcements and shaking people's hands, you know, barely talk. And he would just, hi. And he's still doing that today, so, you know, a few years later. You know, we're going to just go over just a few more Bible verses on what it means to be a child. You know, starting off, to be a child means to be joyful. You know, David writes in some of the darkest moments of his life, while pursuing God's heart, he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit." You know, there's such joy that we have whenever we're born again and we come into salvation. If we're saved from so much, or maybe we've grown up in the church our whole lives, but, you know, there's joy whenever we talk about those life-saving testimonies that Jesus has given us. And there's a lot of joy that a child has. You know, just remember the joy you first had when you knew the Lord. That's what David is praying that he can be restored to. You know, the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know, is at the very center of our ministry, because joy is at the very center of our ministry. And joy is at the very center of this church, I can surely tell. Now, next up, 1 Corinthians 14:20 tells us, don't got to turn there because I'm just going to, you know, piece them together here. In malice be ye children. You know, oftentimes you got to learn how to hold a grudge in life. But, you know, being around kids and such, they'll argue and they'll get into little fights, little squabbles over the silliest things. And oftentimes if you're fighting somebody, you know, there's a good chance it's over something silly, even as an adult. But if you notice something about kids, the kids that are wanting to swing at each other one moment or playing with each other the next, you know, it is something that needs to be learned, to want to hold a grudge, to want to hold on to pain and hurt over somebody. You know, but children, they just let it go. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, this is Luke 10:21, and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight." So, you know, that's another great way to learn how to be a child, what Jesus is telling us here, that people that know it all can't learn much else, you know. Kids, they come in not knowing much, but they tend to ask a lot of questions. Who here knows a kid or has known a kid that likes to ask a lot of questions, you know? It's a very, very common thing. So they aren't prideful with themselves. They want to learn. Ephesians 5:1 tells us, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Another wonderful thing that we can learn is that children tend to have a lot of heroes in life, you know, whether it be a baseball player, football player, you know, whether it even be a superhero. And sometimes, you know, we want to say with kids, whoa, you know, just slow down on there, because you never really want to meet your heroes, you know. But that's also a good thing that kids want to do. They want to follow somebody strong and have a good influence on them. So we let them personally meet that one hero that will never let them down, never make them frown, always keep them grinning. Yeah, that's Jesus Christ, the one man that has been on this earth blamelessly without fault. That is the perfect example for boys and girls to be able to follow and consider themselves a hero, you know. So I remember this story that I'd heard from another minister. Maybe you guys have heard this. It's been, you know, around the church here. But there was a story about a man who'd had such a long, hard week. You know, one of those real long, hard weeks where he just wanted to escape from it all. You know, when Friday came, he clocked out, he went home, and he was going to the bar. You know, he was going to drink away his sorrows. And as he got to the door, he heard big, labored, giant footsteps behind him. And those footsteps originally had started off real little. You know, went from real little to real big. And so he considered turning himself around and seeing what that was. And as he turned around, he saw his child barely learn to walk, wanted to follow in his footsteps. He didn't care where his dad was going. He was going to follow him there. Well, the man, I don't know if he was Holy Ghost sanctified or if, you know, if he had received the gospel himself or if he just used a bit of common sense in that situation. He turned around and spent the night with his son. A wonderful thing. Never went for that walk again because he realized that he was his son's hero, whether he knew it or liked it or not. And that child was going to do what he saw his daddy do. So if we show children and we just show ourselves that there is someone that we can follow that will never let us down, that will always help us grow and always help us, you know, mature into that adult and stay as a child the way that, you know, he's told us to stay. So, you know, I talked a little bit about, you know, desiring, you know, to grow intellectually. Another verse to, you know, be found on that is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. As newborn babies desire the sincere milk of the world, of the word, that ye may grow thereby. You know, it's a good thing for, you know, young Christians, you know, people that, you know, have just become saved to just grow with milk at first. You know, take little bites, you know, just the way that children are as well, just growing up with milk. You know, they have to be able to develop into a stronger diet. So why do they want to do that? Well, you know, you see children, they want to grow physically. The reason they ask so many questions, you know, like that, they also want to grow, you know, mentally and spiritually as well. And as children ourselves in the faith, as children of God, we must always want to grow the way a child wants to grow. Because, you know, I talked about my parents earlier, you know, even today, yesterday when I saw them, you know, they're still calling me son, they're still calling me kid, you know, this many years over. And that's become, you know, and they'll always do that because that comes from the fact that they're always going to see me as a kid, the way that God our Father will always see us as kids. We'll never be, you know, mature or grown up enough for our Father in heaven to see us as anything else but children of God. So, you know, in closing, got another Bible verse here. But when we get to the other side, when we become an adult, we always find ways and remembering how to get back there. That's the reason that we all like, you know, nostalgic TV, you know. Speaking of that, did you know that, who's here has watched the Jetsons, you know? Did you know, this is a crazy thing I found out this morning when I was, you know, getting, you know, a donut in me. George Jetson was born July 31st, 2022. Isn't that crazy? Just something, you know, just some food for thought. He was born today. Unto us, you know, a child is born, you know, George Jetson. So, you know, that means that they don't have a whole lot of time left to give us our hovercrafts and for us to live in the sky. You know, we got a little bit of time left, but that's the reason that we like nostalgia is we always find ways that we want to go back. I still watch the Jetsons today. You know, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. I still, if it's on, I'll watch it. So, we got to understand, though, that we want to go back sometimes to our youth. But God is saying this morning that you can. He's saying that you already are. You're a child, and there's no amount of worry, panic, pressure, or pain that could take that away from you. Mark 10, verses 13 and 15 tell us, people were bringing children to him. This is another instance with Jesus and children. So that he could touch and bless them. But the disciples reprimanded. They said, whoa, don't bring this child any further. They discouraged them from coming. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, allow the children to come unto me. Do not forbid them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever does not receive and welcome the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it in at all. Heavy words from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, heavy words. Mercy. You know, because one reason or another, people in this life can become so calloused. They can become hard and angry or bitter. We see kids like that. They've had to mature too quickly. Had to be their own parent. Had to be their own parent. We know a story of a child who we had served that his father wanted nothing to do with him. And his mother was so in and out of prison that one day he took a swing at his house parent. You know, the pain that he had inside. Didn't know what to do with it. And then they'd come to reconciliation right after that because we prayed for that kid day in and day out. And he said, I just don't know where home is. We told him, home is where we are, and home will be wherever you go as long as you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because you can take the kingdom of God right along with you. You know, that mentality that we see depicted in the Garden of Eden where they knew no sin. When God the Father walked on earth with his own children, all Adam and Eve they ever had to do was ask God, rely on God, don't worry, don't fear. And they had the knowledge of sin until they were influenced by evil. But it is all sacred to God that he's telling us to go back in these verses, that we have to be like children when we think of our faith. Go back to a time in your life when things were simpler and love was just so much more pure. So I ask you this, how does a room full of a bunch of adults become childlike again? How do we summarize that? Well, Matthew 6:34, our Lord says this. These are those red-lettered words that we love so much. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. What's the Lord saying? He's saying, don't worry about it. Sometimes I turn that news on, and goodness gracious, it may be one of the biggest coincidences of my life. I doubt it, but my blood pressure spikes. You know, it's headed for the moon. Sometimes I take a look at gas prices as they fluctuate, and I worry. I worry. But what Jesus tells the disciples, it ain't going to make you any taller. You know? It's not going to make you any taller. It's not going to make you a bigger person for worrying about it. What the Lord's telling us is to not worry about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I just speak a special prayer over this room that everybody else can, and myself included, especially myself included, we can have that faith where we rely on you for all these things, God. Whether it be financial, we just head and give it over to you, God. Whether it be, you know, worried about something going on in our family, God, we just give it to you. Children don't worry about these things. They let their parents handle it. So I say, Heavenly Father, thank you for handling all these problems that are just kind of mustering up in our own life, God. And let us proceed to heaven like a child would their daddy's lap. In Jesus' precious name, we all say together, we'll say it together. Amen. Amen.